You know, I'm thankful that right here where we're at in Canonsburg, Kentucky, the Bible will be just as true next week when I'm in the Philippines.
Amen.
And watch one of their live streams from the preacher over there. And they are in a part of the Philippines that is very heavily cultured. I wouldn't say Americanized, but a lot of people speak English. Most everybody there speaks English, I believe. And there may be need some for translators with the others who would speak Tagalog. But they were singing in English. And so that was a blessing. And so I'm thankful for that. And y'all pray for me next week. I'm really excited about what the Lord's going to do.
Amen.
And over there, I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do here while I'm gone. Amen?
Yeah.
And so please continue to pray for me. The book of Joshua, chapter number 1, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, to the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Aren't you thankful for that this morning?
Amen.
"Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance to the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now just in those 9 verses right there, there's a whole lot of preaching to be done just in those 9 verses right there. I'd like to focus on 2 verses here this morning, primarily really only 1 verse where we'll draw the main meat of our message here this morning. But I love this passage of Scripture. I once heard a preacher preach for an entire week on Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 1. He preached every week just from that one verse, and it was such a blessing and it was so encouraging. But I'm thankful for the great truths that though we may lose such great heroes in the faith, and though many of our loved ones may pass over into glory and to be with God, God is still going to accomplish His work here on this earth.
Amen.
I'm certainly thankful for that. I'm thankful for every time in my Bible it tells me that I don't have to be afraid, and it says, "Fear not," or "Fret not," or "Be of a good courage." I'm glad that I have faith in the Word of God here this morning, that God will indeed deliver me and keep me, that He won't fail me, that He won't forsake me, like it says in verse number 5 right there. I'm glad for the comforting truths in God's Word.
Amen.
As a Christian, God's Word ought to be the center of our lives. That is how we commune with God. That is how we fellowship with the Lord. We communicate to God through prayer, and He communicates to you and I through His spoken, written Word.
Yes, sir.
I believe this book's infallible, inerrant, perfect in all its ways. There's not one jot nor one tittle out of place in this King James Bible, and I believe that this morning.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for these words, and I'm thankful that each word of my Bible is carefully placed exactly where God breathed it, exactly where God said it. And there are many a times in our Bible that success is mentioned. But there's only one time in the Bible where the word success is mentioned. Succeeded and succeed is mentioned many a times, but success is only found one place in your Bible. It's in verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that which is written, all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou shalt have good success. If the Lord had helped me this morning, I want to preach on this thought: striving for success. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you so much for allowing us to be in church today. Lord, there's so many places we could be, Lord. We could be lost in our sins on our way to hell. We could be drunk or hungover somewhere. Lord, we could be out in the middle of nowhere and have no church within shouting distance, Father. But tonight, this morning, Lord, you've got us in the house of God, congregated here together to worship you, to serve you, to lift you up. And Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for what it means to me and to this church. And Lord, I pray that as we look into it here this morning, that you might show us truths, Lord, that by your Spirit you might communicate things to our heart, Father, Lord, that we might understand better, to love you more and to more effectively serve you. Lord, we want to have good success in this life here on earth. Lord, we don't want to stand before you at the judgment one day having left behind a failed testimony or a squandered life or a life that was of no use for you. Lord, we want to stand before you one day having left good success on this earth for your name and for your glory alone. Lord, we pray that you'll help us in this hour. Lord, I pray that you give me the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach what you'd have me to preach. Help me to preach it with power, with love, with a sound mind. And Lord, we'll be also careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, to give you a little background of the context of what we've just read here, Israel is getting ready to take the promised land. Israel, God is preparing the people of God to take this promised land, what is oftentimes referred to as Canaan's land. And when you read in your Bibles, you know that it wasn't an easy task for the people of the Old Testament and the Israelites to overcome these things, but there were many obstacles in their way. Just as in your life and as in mine, there are many obstacles in overcoming the things of this world and the things of our flesh and the things of the wickedness of the dark rulers of this world. And I'm so glad here this morning that I know that God is able to deliver you and I, and that you and I can indeed have success in this life. We've mentioned it time and time again that Canaan is not a picture of heaven, because there will be no fighting, there will be no battle, there will be no strife once we enter into glory, but rather it is a picture of the victorious Christian life. The deliverance of the people of God from Egypt over the Red Sea into the wilderness, that was a picture of salvation. God delivered them from the hand of Egypt, from under the bondage of Pharaoh, and from the picture of the world and the picture of sin. But many a people, they've had the Red Sea experience, but they've never had a Jordan River experience. That is to say, to get from a place in their Christian lives where they are no longer a babe in Christ, but they are a soldier of a cross, they are walking with God, they are living victoriously in Him. There's a lot of people who don't want to cross Jordan because they don't want to have to fight the battles. My pastor's told me this a million times. If being a Christian was easy, everybody would do it. And this was no easy task for them. They were to cross over the Jordan River, and they were to face an enemy referred to in our Bible as the Canaanites. And that's what God is preparing Joshua for. He's preparing them for a battle against the Canaanites in this passage of Scripture. Even in the land of victory, even in the land of promise, there are still battles to be fought. Amen. I spoke with a young Christian just last week, and they were speaking about how that after they got saved, everything's been downhill for them. It seems like the devil's thrown the kitchen sink at them since they got right with God and since they got baptized and joined the church. It seems like everything that can go wrong will go wrong. Make no mistake here this morning. Understand well that the devil does not want you where you're at this morning. The devil doesn't want you in church. He doesn't want you at Wednesday night prayer meeting. He doesn't want you at the cottage prayer meetings. He doesn't want you filling your pocket full of tracts when you leave this place. He doesn't want you on your knees in your prayer closet. He doesn't want you soul winning. He doesn't want you reading your Bible. He doesn't want you to be involved or enamored with any of those things. He just wants to keep you distracted.
Amen.
So the devil's not necessarily concerned with how much sin is in your life, just so long as there's enough sin in your life to keep you away from God.
Amen.
And if you and I are going to fight that sin, and if we're going to strive against our flesh and strive against this wicked world, the Bible says that we're to be lights in this wicked world among whom ye shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's what Peter would say. We're living in a day and age in which we need Christians to be bold. We need Christians to stand up. We need Christians to live godly lives. We need Christians to be separated so that when the world sees them, they realize that there's something different, that there's something to this thing, that the grace of God is something real in our lives.
Amen.
I want to have a successful Christian life. I want to be a success for the glory of God. Like I mentioned just a moment ago, this particular word in this form, success, is only mentioned one time in your King James Bible, and it's right there in verse number 8, and it is centered around what? Obedience to God's Word.
That's it.
Obedience to God's Word. By way of introduction, I don't even know if we're going to get past the introduction here this morning, but I want to look at a few things in verse number 7 just as we prepare ourselves for what we're going to see in verse number 8. If I could just build a porch. The Bible says in verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." I believe there's some great truths about the Word of God. There's some great truths about the success of God found right here in verse number 7. First and foremost, I believe that it is a strong success. It's a strong success. The Bible says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." God does not desire for us to be weak, anemic, powerless, prayerless, backslidden Christians this morning.
Amen.
God desires for us to be strong. God desires for us to be holy. God desires for us to be fervent, to set our faces a sweeping flint towards Him, to desire nothing but Him in our lives. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell all the days of the Lord in the house of the Lord, in His temple, to inquire of His goodness, to behold His beauty." David said, "The only thing that I want is God." I heard a preacher preaching last week. He said we need to quit making the goal of our churches growth, and we need to make the goal of our churches God. Paul said that I may win Christ. And let me tell you something about a Christian that's going to walk tall with God and a Christian that's going to stay strong in the faith. They may not be strong in stature. I met many old saints of God, had the power of God on their lives, and though their bodies were decrepit, and though they were hunkered over, and though their hair was white, and though they might not be as strong as they used to be able to do the things that they used to do, God was all over their life, and they were some of the strongest Christians I ever met. I believe that God desires for us to have a strong success. He told Joshua, He said, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." But I believe as well here this morning that it is a simple success. He said that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. There was a man in your Bible in the Old Testament by the name of Solomon. And God told Solomon in a dream. He came to him in a vision. He said that there was not a man who walked the earth as wise as him, neither would there be one after him as wise as Solomon was. And the wisest man in all the world, in all of history, to walk this earth, save the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said at the end of his life in the book of Ecclesiastes? You know what he wrote? He said, "This is the whole duty of man: fear God and keep His commandments." God said, "Do what I say and you'll have blessing." Obedience always brings blessing. Obedience always brings success in the sight of God. Now, we're going to talk about the definition of that success in just a little while, but I believe that it is a very simple success. Just do what God says, and He'll bless you.
Amen.
Do what God says, and He'll provide for you. Do what God says, and you'll have your prayers answered. Do what God says, and He'll use you for His glory. Not only is it a strong success, and not only is it a simple success, but it is a sure success. The Bible says that thou mayest observe according to all the law. That's the simplicity of it. But it is sure in that which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. The source from which we find these things. Now Joshua's source was Moses. But understand this. God used that man to pen the first five books of yours and my Bible. The Pentateuch, the books of the law. When David will praise God and he'll say, on your law I meditate day and night. He's speaking about these books of Moses. Moses was God's mouthpiece to communicate the words of God to the people of God. It is a sure success because we know what the source is. It's coming from God. Listen to me, I love to read books. Over the past 2 days, I spent about 9.5 hours in a car, and I read some books, and I read plenty of stuff while we were driving up and down the roads and the interstates and out in the middle of nowhere in western North Carolina. But I got to reading some good books, and I'm thankful that there have been men of God who have penned down words, things that they believe, things that help young ministers, young preachers such as myself. But I'm thankful that when I come to this book right here, there's something different about it. There's something sure. It is a sure foundation. What song did we sing right before we preached? Standing on the promises of God. It is a sure success. To turn not from it to the right or to the left. It is a straight success. I overheard Brother Larry in Sunday school teaching on the Word of God and how that there are no gray areas in the Word of God, but that it is either right or it is wrong, it is black or it is white. He says, turn neither to the right, he says, nor to the left. Listen, God's Word shows us a sure path. The Bible says in the Psalms that thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. I had a great preacher once tell me this. He said, when you're studying theology and when you're ministering, when you're doing all these things and you're trying to keep a balance in your Christian life, it's always important to remember that there's a ditch on either side of every road. It's easy to fall away from the things of God and the truth of God and the law of God. It's easy to fall away into legalism. It's easy to fall away into liberalism. There's a ditch on either side of the road here this morning. But Jesus, the Word of God, it says, turn neither to the right nor to the left. It is a straight path. It is a straight and narrow for the success of God.
Amen.
It's a secure success. That thou mayest prosper. I like this right here. Whithersoever thou goest. It don't matter if you're 5,500 miles away on the other side of the world. God's Word still works.
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ still works. Living holy still works.
Amen.
Praying still works. Reading your Bible still works. Coming to church still works. Soul winning still works. Singing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It still works. He said, observe my law, observe my commandments, walk the straight and narrow, live for God, do the things I've told you to do. And he said, it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what enemy you face. They were coming up against the Canaanites. They'd have to fight the Hittites. They'd have to fight the Amorites and the Jebusites and all these other ites out there. But I'm so glad that no matter what the world throws at me, no matter what the devil throws at me, no matter what stirs up in my flesh, it's no match for the Word of God. I believe that it is a secure success here this morning. Lots of people all over this world, perhaps sitting in this church this morning, are trusting in anything else but the Word of God to bring their success. They're trusting in their finances. They're trusting in a number on a bank account. They're trusting in their possessions. They're trusting in some earthly inheritance, is something that's temperamental, something that's here on this earth that they can leave behind. They're putting all their faith into these things. And by the world's measure, that's what they say success is. They say you got money, you're a success. Your car's nicer than your next door neighbor's, you're a success. You got a good job, you ain't been fired, you're a success. But not one time in your Bible or mine is success measured by material things.
Amen.
Success, I believe, is measured by obedience to God. And remember what book we're reading here. This is the book of Joshua, the namesake of the son of Nun, the great warrior, the minister to the man of God, Moses, who that after Moses died, we read how that he raised up Joshua to take the people of God into the promised land. And this man, Joshua, knows a thing or two about obedience to God. He knows a thing or two about doing what God said. Remember when God sent those 12 spies? He told Moses, send 12 spies over into the land of Israel, into the Canaan land to see if they could take it. And out of those 10, there was only 2 that came back and brought a good report. It was Joshua and it was Caleb. They came back and they brought that good report. And what did they say? They said, let us go up and take this land. What did he say? For we are well able to possess it. They saw the same giants. They saw the same obstacles. They saw the same armies. They saw the same inhabitants as those other 10 spies. The only difference is Joshua and Caleb had faith in the word of God that he was going to bring the success. David, throughout the Psalms, all throughout your Bible, he says, God, my salvation, he's my high tower, he's my buckler, he's my deliverer. You and I cannot bring success. God can bring success through us.
Amen.
I believe we can have it if we yield ourselves to God. I believe we can have it if we'll strive for it in our lives, if we'll seek God's face, and if we'll obey His commandments. We'll notice 3 things and we'll be done this morning. First of all, I'd like for us to notice in verse number 8, a practical oration. A practical oration. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I began to think about that, and I began to think about my friends and those who God's placed in my life, and it sounds like every time they speak, they're ministering grace to the hearers. It seems like every time they want to talk, they want to talk about the Word of God. They want to talk about Jesus. They want to talk about the Bible. They want to talk about all these things. And God desires for you and I that the things of God would not quickly pass away from our mouths, but rather that we might use them to glorify God. He's telling Joshua, you're to read this word often. You're to speak this word often. You are to saturate your life with the word of God and with these things. You're to preach it. You're to teach it. You're to sing it. You are to enamor your life with the words of God. Listen to me here this morning. If this next generation is going to have any hope, it's going to be because there were some of us, some mamas, some daddies, some grandparents, some preachers, some singers, some witnesses that spoke the Word of God boldly.
Amen.
That shared the Word of God, that gave the Word of God preeminence in their life. And I'll remind you what the Bible says. He says, I will worship toward thy holy temple, for thou hast magnified thy Word. We're speaking of God now. Thou hast magnified thy Word above all thy name. If we'll give the Word of God preeminence, if we'll not let it pass from our mouth, if we'll make it our conversation, Paul said, let your conversation become as Christ. I believe God will bless us. I believe we'll see success. I believe God can use us. Though the preacher might be bound, though you and I may go to the grave one day, though the preacher can be bound, his precepts cannot, Matthew Henry said. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, writing to the young preacher, he said, when I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. There is nothing that you and I can do to hold back the word of God. Listen to me. The Bible says in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter number 55 and verse 11, I could be wrong, but I believe that's the verse where it says that God's word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish that which he sent it forth. God is going to accomplish his work, and God is going to use his word to do it. And if he's not going to use you, he's going to find somebody else.
Amen.
He'll get somebody else that will. Read your Bible in Luke chapter number 10. Those people that came to Jesus and they said, well, let me do this first before I follow you. Let me get this straightened out first before I serve you. Let me get these things together in my life before I decide to start pursuing you, before I decide to start following you. And Jesus sent them away. But it still says, and he sent 70 other also into every town, 2 and 2, to every house, whither he himself would come. If you don't want to do it, God's going to find somebody that will.
Amen.
It's important for those of us who want to serve God and want to love God and want to please God with our lives that we not let this word depart from our mouths. There was a practical oration. We've got to be in church. Listen to me. If you see me out here cutting grass, or you see me driving down the road and I got a set of earbuds in, I got some headphones in, chances are I'm trying to listen to preaching. Why? Because I need the devil preached out of me every chance I can get, because I need the Word of God. I need to saturate my life with the truth of God's Word. There's a practical application to everything in the Bible for you and I, and it's important that we get ourselves around it. Amen. My suggestion would be go to every revival you can. Listen to every sermon you can. Get a hold of every preaching you can. Listen to all the hymns you can. Listen to all the good gospel music you can. Saturate your life with the Word of God. It is a practical oration. Not only do we find a practical oration here this morning, but we find a personal observation. A personal observation, the Bible says this: "But this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." David said in the 19th Psalm, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." It's one thing that we would obey it practically, that we would obey it outwardly, that we would put on the right clothes and carry the right Bible and go to the right church. But it's a whole other thing when God's looking on the inside.
Amen.
God sees how much of your heart and how much of your mind is full of carnality and full of wickedness and full of unprofitable and vain imaginations and wicked things. But God sees when we fill our hearts and we fill our minds with the Word of God. Something I advise every Christian in here this evening to do when you go home tonight, and I pray that you do it every night after, read a little bit of the Bible before you go to bed. If you do your Bible reading in the morning, praise God for you. I think that's the way it ought to be done. But read you a little bit of the Bible. Read you a psalm or two or some proverbs before you pillow your head at night, so that your mind's not on wicked things and your mind's not on the things of this world, and your mind is on Jesus and your mind's on God and your mind's fixed on the things of this world. Because if you're not careful, those thoughts and those imaginations and those sins will take captive your mind, and they'll fester and they'll grow, and before you know it, you're not thinking about the Bible, you're not thinking about church, you're not thinking about God, you're not thinking about any of these things anymore. What did he say to Joshua?
Amen.
"But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." David said, I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Brother Jeremy preached on it the other night. God wants you and I to remember His Word, to memorize that Word, to hide it in our heart, to meditate on it, to think about it, to love it so very much that when that sin and that temptation comes in your life and in mine, we can overcome it through the Spirit's sword. What we sing just before we preach, overcoming daily by the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God, standing on the Word of God. Amen. It's more important that we not only saturate our surroundings with the Word of God and what's outside and what's visible and what's superficial, but that we saturate our souls in the Word of God.
Amen.
There have been a few funerals I've been to for some great men of God, some great preachers. When they laid those men in the casket, I'd hear people say this, and I cannot imagine a better compliment than this right there. They say, "That man was a walking Bible." I had a pawpaw, my pawpaw Richard. I heard many people say it about him when he died, that he was a walking Bible. Somebody needed to know where something was in the Bible, they go to him. You know why? Because he's saturated his heart and his soul and his mind with this book right here. It was more than just lip service. It was more than what was just on the outside. He had it on the inside. And listen to me. You're going to need more than what's on the outside if you want to be a success for God.
Amen.
We need to have it on the inside. We saw a practical oration. We saw a personal observation. Remember what the Bible said in the first Psalm. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." We need a personal observation of these things, and I don't mean observation in a sense that we can just see them and we know where they're at, but I mean observation in a sense, just like Solomon told his son when he said, "My son, that thou mayest incline thy ear to wisdom and thy heart unto understanding." That we might not only know the Word of God, be hearers of the Word of God, but we might be doers of the Word of God. Lastly, this morning I want us to see this. A prosperous outcome. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and shall have good success." You and I ought not to, we should not be able to care any less about having what the world says is success.
Amen.
So much as we care about the success with God. There's lots of godly folks, lots of Christians, lots of preachers that are going off the scene. Going to heaven. Going to glory. Lots of people who left behind a great testimony on this world. Lots of godly mamas and daddies that loved God and raised up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Faithful Christians who are a success for God. We'll never know the names of the vast majority of them. Their names will never be published in any book or up in any lights or put in any kind of documentary that we might watch or book that we might read. We'll never know anything about them. But God knows all about them.
Yes, He does.
And one day, know this, Christian, one day we will stand with those at the judgment seat of Christ. And there is an account that we must give of our service to God here on earth. Your sins were judged at the cross, but your service will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about a general judgment. The great white throne judgment of the damned is an entirely different thing. I'm talking about you,
Amen.
Christians, members of Crossroads Baptist Church. You will give an account for what you did for God, you and I both. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that in that day, we will suffer great loss, and that we will know the terror of the Lord. I know there's a lot of people out there, many preachers who are much, much smarter, probably much closer to God than I am, but they like to cupcake that passage of Scripture. There's no getting around that. You and I will give an account to God face to face for our service to God here on this earth. I'd do anything to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Amen.
So what is necessary? What is so imperative to you and I here this morning that we must have right in our lives if we want to leave a good testimony for God, if we want to be successful in this life? Just obey him.
Amen.
Just do what he says. Just love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Use your words to glorify him and magnify him. Stay close to that book. Stay on your knees in prayer. Get a hold of God. Serve God with humility and grace and love. Just do what he says to do. And the Bible says we'll have good success. You bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking at me. Every head bowed and every eye closed in here this morning. I'll be completely honest with you here this morning. There's not one part of that message this morning that I could not apply to my life and do better for the Lord Jesus. And I believe that if we're honest in here this morning, that we're all in that boat. Christians, I invite you to come to this altar this morning and pray. Ask God to help you. Say, God, I want to be a success. I don't want to leave behind a failed testimony. I don't want to leave behind nothing for your name or for your glory. Lord, that day, I want to be able to cast crowns at your feet. I want to be able to glorify you. I want to be able to honor you. I want to have a clean conscience when I leave this world. Just like Paul said, he said that my time of departure is at hand. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've run my course. I've finished my course. I've run the race with patience. God, I want to leave a good testimony for you. I want to have success. Would you come to the altar this morning? Christians up here, I tell you, the altar ain't the only place you can get right with God, but it's a real good place to start. Would you humble yourself this morning? Would you admit to God that maybe you're not trying as hard as you should to be a success for Him and you could do better? Just make your way up here. I invite you. Maybe you're in here this morning and you want to be a success for God, but you don't know the first step. And honestly, you would say within your heart here this morning, I don't even know where I'm going to spend eternity. I don't even know if I am a Christian. I don't even know if I am saved. I don't know if I'm going to burn in hell for all eternity because of my sin, or if I've been forgiven, if I've been at Calvary, if I've been with Jesus. I don't even know. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? Say, preacher, I don't know that I've ever been saved. But before I leave, I want to know that I'm saved before I leave this place. Will you raise your hand? Nobody looking but me. Now, I'm going to ask you to be honest this morning. If you couldn't care either way this morning, don't raise your hand. But I want to ask how many Christians in here would raise their hand and say, preacher, I do want to be a success for God. I do want to leave a good testimony behind all over the house. God bless you. Just obey Him.